All right, it is the Monday Minnesota. My name is G Money.
Andy Young.
Big C.
Wagwan, Big C. I hear that you've got so much to say today on the pod. Wagwan.
You've been awfully quiet over the weekend. Yeah. Apparently you had things to say.
Yeah, like
the floor is yours.
I hear that like you just wanted the entire pod to talk today.
Fuck off.
So Big C went to the dentist today. For the first time in how long?
Man, it's been years. It's been years.
How many years? So,
maybe about four some.
Wow, I don't know. Anyway, go on. Yeah.
Anyway, I was supposed to do, I was going in for routine cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And
routine what?
Cleaning.
Well, obviously, it's not.
Again, say what?
It's not routine.
It's not routine. It's
if you haven't been for 4 years, but go on. You were going for a cleaning.
And also, I'd cracked an enamel.
Okay.
Yeah, so the doc was like, let's do an x-ray. And when we did the x-ray, my roots were for, you know, those back teeth?
Uh-huh.
It was carved.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was carved to the point where there was like a fault line in the middle of the teeth. So
the tooth was broken?
No, in the roots inside, not like at the top. I don't know much about that stuff.
Right? Hold on 1 second. My door just rang. Keep us entertained.
So, anyway, the doc says we can't even do no root canal, right? So, the doc was like, we have to do an extraction.
That's painful.
Yo, that extraction took 2.5 fucking hours, man. Like, 2.5 hours. Like, all of... I've got a deafening sound. That whole grind. Oh, man, I'm fucking...
Yeah.
Dead. Yeah, and then she kept pulling and pulling and pulling. She's like, can we take a break? Man, She's what do you call it? The anesthesia.
Hold on. I've just got back. So the tooth was broken and damaged, so they had to take the tooth out, right?
No, it's not. It was the roots. Like,
listen, hold on. For them to remove a tooth, yeah? Because if your roots were dead or whatever in your tooth, what they will do is they'll do a thing called a root canal.
Yeah, a root canal. That's so, what I wanted them to do.
So the root canal would save the tooth, but it would kill the roots.
Yeah.
And you'd be able to keep the tooth with a filling.
Exactly.
But if the tooth is too decayed, then they have to take the tooth out because there's nothing to save. So what happened?
So the root canal was what we were going to do. Uh-huh. But in the x-ray, it showed that the root of the tooth, there was like a line in the middle. They're not joined. You get? It's
okay,
not.
Okay.
She was going to do a root canal, but she said, since the tooth is formed and they're carved in the inside the root, they've grown carved. You get? I'll show you.
Okay,
guys.
So it was painful at the end of the day.
It just took so fucking long.
So they took the tooth out, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, you'll be fine. I mean, end of the day, taking the tooth out, it's one.
This is no problem. It just took so fucking long. Hours,
but it happens, though. It happens sometimes. Some teeth come out easy. Some teeth take long. Man. Where did you go to Lavington?
No, Roslyn.
Okay, cool. All right, yeah. There's a very good dentist near to your office, which I would have recommended still.
Oh, yeah, ABC place, right?
No, your office, you have so many. I realize you have three offices. I was counting today, actually, so Calvin's actually got three jobs. I mean, the one in Lavington, there's one in Lavington that I go to. Anyway, Polly, man. Andy, how was your weekend?
It was a busy weekend.
Uh-huh.
Saturday at the Kunle's gig.
I walked in halfway during your set. You and Neville were absolutely tearing the roof off that venue, man. Well done, man. I was very proud.
Killed it.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you, man. Yeah, we were gassed about it, bro.
I mean, to be honest, I got there during your set, and I was right by the side while you were DJing. And my fear for the event was that everybody was going to come and kind of just do the same thing. There were obviously some songs that were repeated during sets, which is obvious. But I think overall, I really think most of the DJs did a good job. Most of them. Not all of them. Most of them.
Funny you mentioned that. Neville and I had actually talked about that before the event. Like, because of the lineup of DJs, and we know that this is a crazy lineup. This is a dope lineup of DJs. What are the odds that some songs are definitely going to be repeated? And they're like, they're very high. Because we were planning, you know, maybe how we want to make guys feel during the set, you know, where we want to take them there, this and that. So we kind of were prepared, you know, for even us to come, maybe play a song or two that's already been played, but guys are still going to vibe to that. And it was true, because there's a song I played, and then later on, Kina, CNG and Dream played the same song, and the crowd sang the whole thing word
again,
for word.
Exactly.
Again, yeah. So it's a crowd thing.
Yeah,
it's something DJs think about a lot.
Yeah, and also, I mean, for the way I look at it is that for the time that I got there during your set, and for how full the place was, because usually one of the things about concerts in the 254 is that you find the promoters that they're waiting for guys to come in. It's like, oh, there's 2,000 guys at the gates. They'll let them pay to come in, but because so much tickets have been sold in advance. I think guys had really, and this is a very young crowd, so guys had really come in early. So for when I walked in and what was going on, the preparation that was, Garch and I say, the preparation that was going on, it was good, man. Well done, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Obviously,
but we were really looking forward to.
Didn't get a chance to play. Well,
you and Grouchy, yeah.
Well, apparently, everyone's saying, yeah, the Monday Minnesota's going to be lit. there's not really a big story. And the story to me is quite a very simple story. It's like, as we discussed on the podcast on Friday, was it? It was like we had a slot in between Adi Kundle Gold and Nyashinsky. So the promoters had been having issues with one of the acts, because they didn't know whether Nyashinsky had a sore throat, whether he was going to perform. There was all this conversation about performing before, after, loads of stuff. So anyway, so by the time the day of the event, and he's confirmed that he's performing and stuff, and everything remains the same. Now, every show, every concert runs late. There's absolutely, I doubt there's a concert on this planet that ever runs exactly to time. So we were running probably about an hour late, or almost an hour late.
Yeah.
So what actually happened was, when Adi Kunle was on stage and he's doing his thing and us guys are supposed to go on next, and then Nyashinsky's supposed to go on, then we got a message from one of the guys on the ground. They were like, oh, by the way, Nyashinsky says he wants to go on next. As in directly after Adi Kunle. So I've done shows.
That changes a lot.
I've done shows before, and I'm like, well, in my mind, I'm saying, guess what? There's going to have to be a DJ set in between Adi Kunle and Nyash, because they have to change the band.
You have to do
a band change. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm cool. No worries. We just won't play. And then I was cool with that. And I was, to be honest, I felt a bit of a way for Grouchy, because Grouchy, like, you know, like you guys had thought about your set, and all of us had conversations, and we know what we wanted to do, and I was going to jump on the mic and this and that. So, but then the reason that I became a bit adamant was when someone came to me and said, okay, do this, go in and play for 10 minutes. I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not me. I'm not that guy. Like, I'm not that kind of DJ. So I said, respectfully, go and ask any of these other guys to go and do it, because I'm not doing it. Because, you know, with the band change, what's going to happen is you're probably going there and you play two songs, and then the band is set up, and then someone's coming to you and say, oh, yeah. The artist is ready now. And I'm like, not me. Let somebody else do it. So they got some other DJ to do it. I think it was, can't remember his name anyway. But yeah, it was another DJ on the lineup to do it. And so by that time now, that's when we saw you and us guys were in the car heading out, you know. So
yeah, because we had to come fetch our things in the car. I you know, at that point, I was just informed, like, what had just happened. Like, I was just taking everything, you know, when I found you guys in the car, I was just taking everything in. I didn't know exactly what was going on. But Grouty told me to talk to one of the guys who was on ground, and they'd let me know Agwan.
Mm.
So that's how I was able to find out what went on behind the scenes.
So the funny
but guys thing, were really looking forward to your performance.
Well,
bro.
You know, the funny thing is the day after the promoters, one of the promoters was apologizing, and he's like, you know what? You know, just as a mark of respect and stuff, we're going to pay you the full amount of money. I'm like, excuse me, you were going to pay the full amount of money any fucking way. If you want to be respectful, pay me fucking double. You know what I'm trying to say? But like, there's no question about whether or not you are going to pay me. You know what I'm trying to say? Do not hang my fee as a sort of pacifier. I didn't play, but you are going to pay me because everything that I was supposed to do in terms I got there 3-4 hours before my set, I was chilling, I was following the thing. So don't come to me with this, out of respect, we're going to pay you. But you're fucking going to pay me my money. It's simple. There's no two ways about that shit. Do you know what I mean?
True,
that's the only thing.
True.
And I was very clear when he sent that message. I'm like, no, you paying me is not part of the condolence package here. Sorry, mate. You're paying me anyway, so, you know.
That was supposed to happen.
That's
going to
happen, you know what I mean? So that's the way I kind of looked at it. So, yes, I think for me, and I guess for Grouchy as well, there's always going to be that DJ element that says, man, I would have peppered this crowd. But for me personally, it's also a matter of respect. And end of the day, like, things happen when you do concerts and shows and stuff. But at the end of the day, like, the issues that you have are not my issues. So I'm not going to compromise what I planned or want to deliver because your shit ain't working, you know. So, you know.
Very true.
Yeah, man.
But Nyashinski delivered a very solid performance.
As you would expect.
Yeah, it was a very solid performance. Band, he worked with the crowd. There was cake. He was serving people champagne. Mm. My man came prepared for this. So,
well, I mean, obviously, I would expect him to come prepared, especially given the fuss that he'd made about closing the show, which, let me say something a bit controversial here, and I know that I'm probably going to be battered for this, yeah. So I saw on Twitter where some people said, the week before Blinky... what's his name? Black Coffee. Mm. Curtain raised for Blinky Bill.
For Blinky.
And last week, Adekunle curtain raised for Nyashinski. Guys, fall back. Fall back. Let's be very, very, very honest here. It's like, end of the day, I love Blinky Bill, but I'm sure even Blinky Bill would say to you, Black Coffee didn't turn race for me. Black Coffee came into the set and I played after him. And then I think, very honest, as strong as Nyashinski is as an artist and as big as his performance was, Adekunle is an equal. So the question of fundraising to me is of curtain raising to me, it's not so much based upon it's not based upon status, it's based upon ego. And my thing is, end of the day, like, let's talk numbers. Curtain raise, but who got paid the most money? it's really, let's be honest, if we're talking about respect and we're talking about status, curtain raise Bart got paid probably 3 times as much as you did in both cases. And to me, that's the problem that we have in terms of us chasing from a not even from an egotistical point, chasing from the position that the lay of the crowd. Because I can guarantee you, I mean, end of the day, let's face it. Let's say if Burna was coming or something. Let's say Burna was coming to do a show and not even Burna, because Burna's a different kind of artist right now. Let's say
Rema or Wiz.
Let's say Wiz. Wiz is a great artist, yeah. Let's say Wiz comes in to do a show, right? Mm. And let's say Wiz comes in to do a show, and let's say an artist says, I'm not performing after the Nigerian
Before.
Act or whatever. Because we've got to talk about music on a global stage.
Yeah.
It's like, for example, like, let's talk about music on a global stage. Let's talk about Jazzy Jeff, right? Mm. Let's say we talk about Jazzy Jeff as a DJ, or let's talk about Let's talk about Westwood. Let's talk about, you know, let's talk about even just any of these DJs who come, and we're gonna perform, or they're here for a gig. And what part of me is gonna turn around and say, oh yeah, I'm not gonna DJ. I can't DJ after. I can't DJ before.
You have to DJ then after. Man,
because you know what I mean. So
ego.
So it's like, so my thing is, like, end of the day. I did Kunle goal, and I'm biased, and yes, Calvin probably biased as well. He's a really nice guy. As in, he's a very nice human being. As in, Calvin has always said, and even like, even when he was coming to the station on Thursday or whatever day it was, he messaged me on WhatsApp and he's like, yo, I'm running late. I'm sorry. I'm this. I've been under the weather. And then we were talking. He even told me that on Saturday, Calvin told him that I wasn't coming because I was sick, And that's another thing I was pissed about on Saturday, because I was sick for the whole day on Saturday. That's another story. Oh. But yeah, so he's a really nice guy. So when they probably said to him, like, we have an artist who wants to perform after you. We've known Adekunle for 4 or 5 years. He probably would have said, okay, no problem.
One of the things that he said last week when I interviewed him, he actually gave props to Nyashinsky from the jump. He was like, I'm looking forward to Nyashinsky. And even when Nyashinsky went on stage, he was like, props to AG. So it was mutual respect.
He says mutual respect, exactly. Yeah. And mutual respect. But what I'm trying to say is that flip that to an artist who's a wild head. Flip that to an artist of a Wiz or not even Wiz, like a Burna, whose entourage would be, his mom would be like, are you mad? So what I'm trying to say is, end of the day, like, your artistic integrity and how we perceive you as an artist is not dependent upon where you play or whether you open a show. Because if that's the same token, basically, I think that from a DJ perspective, basically you're saying you couldn't go in and do what you did unless you played after us guys, or you played after CNG and Dreamo. You see what I'm trying to say?
And that's the conversation you're having on the pod.
Your perception is not based upon where you play. Your perception is based upon your artistic integrity and how you connect with your crowd. And I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon. And I know it's probably not the hill that I want to die on. But when I read on the Twitters and people are saying, oh, especially the black coffee conversation, come on. Oh, black coffee opened up for Blinky Bill. Are you stupid? Black coffee just wasn't bothered where he was playing. Because he knew his money was the same. And it's like he came and he did his set. He mashed up that event. Are you telling me that end of the day? So either people don't know what curtain raising means. I could curtain raise for black coffee. Easy, you know, it's like, it's weird. It's anyway, but you know what? Not my hill to die on. I've said what I've said. And end of the day, like, if you're confident in yourself as an artist or a DJ or whatever it is, it is what it is, you know what I mean? But I just find that conversation doesn't drive Kenyan music forward.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just my...
It pits our guys against each other. Unnecessarily, when they're actually cool.
Can you imagine, like, I remember when we did...
Oh my goodness.
Conscience.
Not even Conscience. When we did...
Chronics.
Not even Chronics. I'll give you an example. All right, I'll come back to that. But when we did...
T.I. or some.
We've done a lot of shows. All right, I get it. But when we did, the event I'm talking about is when we did Sepetuka. There's a Sepetuka we did where it was DJ driven. And we had Heavy K, Semtech, Shawnee B, Robo Ranks, DJ Envy. We had DJs flown in from all around the world. Fam, can you imagine how it would have been if Robo had said, oh, I'm not going to play before Envy, or Envy had said, oh, I'm not going to play after Robo, or Semtex has said, no, I've got to play last. Come on, guys. That is basic.
Didn't Envy and them have to perform early because they had a flight?
Remember, we picked up Envy at the airport, and Envy came in and played about 3 o'clock and then chilled for a while and then bounced in the morning.
Yes.
But Heavy K was there from the day before. You know, and he didn't, and Heavy K played, and then Jack Rooster played, and it's just, I'm saying, if you're an artist, like, I get it. I get the artistic ego, and I understand it totally. But I'm just saying, don't use that as a benchmark for status or whatever, because if we're creating art, art is to be appreciated by the people who like the art. You can't force me or force anyone to say that, okay, you're this or you're that based upon your position in a lineup. If that's the case, we couldn't have festivals. When you go to the festival, you might go and find Stormzy, or let's say you find Stormzy and Stormzy's doing the 5 o'clock stage at Glastonbury, and then after him, Beyonce's doing something or Jay-Z's doing something. Should Stormzy then say, no, this is England, you know? There's no way I'm going to perform after Jay-Z or Beyonce. You get it. It makes zero sense whatsoever. In fact, it's rather pay. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. You know, but it was a good show. It had its hitches, its ups and its downs. And I just, on the side of the promoters, I would just say to them that sit down, analyze everything that went right and analyze everything that went wrong and build for the next one, you know.
What did we used to call that? There used to be an acronym.
Debrief.
Yeah. SWOT analysis. There's a name that was given. Yeah, SWOT analysis. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, that's what it comes down to, you know. But yeah, God. So let me give you the context for Saturday. Saturday, I was shitting my brains out. Oh, my God. I had the worst running belly on Saturday. I had some salad on Friday and I was stomach. So for the most part of the day, I was literally in bed, trust me. And then I ended up taking up some drugs to kind of stem the flow. And then, you know, so that was my personal, and it's nothing to do with the promoters of the event. But I was like, for fuck's sake, I'd have rather just stayed fucking home in bed than be out there for 4 or 5 hours and not perform, you know?
You know what was funny, G, though? Mm. Friday, you killed Mercury, right? Mm. And the moment that stood out was when the flip phone incident.
Right. Oh, when yeah.
You killed the music and said, this is Mercury. Phones don't just get lost like that.
Yeah, we don't. Phones are not stolen here.
Yeah, and then this babe runs to the stage, right? To the booth.
That's my phone, like, that's my phone.
Yeah, you have to call a number. Mm. What was crazy was the guy who actually called
someone.
Was like some famous MP from Western Kenya.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Really? He's like known for bullfighting and all of that shit.
You're not
with
serious.
The red cap. Yeah.
So the guy came with the red cap. So when I opened, he didn't even have a lock on. He had that expensive Samsung Flex phone. It's like $2,000.
Yeah.
So literally when I opened it, fam, I'm just seeing numbers like politicians' numbers, MP this, MP that. I'm like, if you have a phone like that, fam, you should have a lock on your phone, my G.
Yeah. So,
do you know what I mean?
So, like, it was funny because I realized that as I was walking past, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that guy's a bad man. Eh? There's a time he went for some event and some guy spoke to him badly, a constituent, right? Mm. And they broke up and started fighting.
Wow.
Hallelujah, man.
Oh, man, for real. But yeah, Mercury was actually a movie
on
Friday.
How's Mercury, bro? What's the energy? Is it coming up?
It's coming up. Hey, what? Mercury is back. Mercury is back. And I want you guys and everyone who's listening to go to my Instagram. And if you don't follow me, like me. But if you go to my Instagram, there's a video from Mercury on Friday, right? I did not clock this until like 2 days after I posted that video, right? There's a chick on that video who's dancing. And when the camera comes to her, she ducks. Like, she ducks out the camera. And the man them are saying in the WhatsApp groups that she ducked because she'd already told her man that she was sleeping.
Oh, of course, why else would she duck, bro?
Yo, Mercury is back, bro.
Oh, man. Are the summer bunnies there as well?
Not yet, but guys are coming in. Like, it's funny. Go on, Calvin.
I had to call Barry to tell him to take a picture down of someone.
Really?
Yeah, like, I called Barry. Barry's like, yo, send a text to this. Because it was one of my boys who was posing with, like, two chicks. So this picture had been circulated all the way to South Africa. So he was
Mercury
like,
is back.
Get in.
Oh, what did you get?
No, Mercury is back to wreck relationships.
Oh, man.
For December.
Oh, man. But you know, funnily enough, also to, on a separate note, speaking about December and guys coming home, I was actually talking to a friend of mine who lives in the UK, Kenyan, and she's, you know, thinking of coming home for Christmas and stuff. And it's funny how a lot of the older folks are telling the younger folks, ah, don't come back home because there's a lot of insecurity. Because she's asking me, like, what's the security situation like out there? And I'm like, it's kind of normal. Like, it's kind of like it is.
It's all right.
Do you know what I mean? So I think that a lot of people who may be listening to, like, and I get it because I remember there were times when I used to go home to Jamaica. And I'd hear all of the stuff happening out there. I'd be like, oh, me, I'm not going, man. But then when you get there on the ground, it's like, it's different.
By the way, shout out to the mics are open.
Mm.
A lot of people listen in Uganda. A lot.
Oh, yeah, you were in UG last week.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people listening to the mics are open over there. I got so many invites to media houses and TV stations to talk about the podcast.
Oh, wow.
And guys were like, yo, you guys should actually think about coming to do radio show, a live show from Uganda.
Mm.
So to everybody who listens in Uganda, much appreciated.
Yeah, definitely. And when you look at the back end and the metrics, Uganda and Dubai are actually two of the strongest places we have outside of Kenya.
I was talking to some radio presenters over there, and I was like, so what podcasts you guys have here? And we're like, bro, there's not that many and a lot are not as big, but definitely there's potential for that market. Because, you know, UG guys actually listen to radio more than, they listen to radio more than Kenyans actually do.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, I've always
But
asked,
Calvin, yo.
Go on, Andy.
Yo, no, after your questions, he should tell us about UG. I wanted him to tell us what going with his, you know, stay over there.
First and foremost, you land at Entebbe airstrip.
Is your first time there?
First time was Kitambo. It's been like 10 years, but you know, bus kind of thing back then.
Okay,
right. That's an airstrip, let's call it that.
Entebbe, come on. It's not that bad,
bro. Let's call it what it is.
It's not. No. Entebbe is not an airstrip.
My nigga stepped out one time and he boozy.
No. He's like, no, come on. What I would say is compared to JKA.
You can't compare it to Moi International in Mombasa either.
But what I'm saying to you is, at the same time, if you go to TZO, you go to not Kisumu, or you go to any of these other places like Juba or whatever. Like, we are spoiled because we have a decent airport. The quality of airports are not that great, but they're getting better. But then
the one in Dar, just opened is actually pretty dope.
Right.
Massive. Right. It's really dope. But what was interesting, so you have to do a COVID test, right?
When you land?
So you get there, you do the COVID test to get on the plane first. Then when you land, you have to pay another $30 to do another COVID test. Now, the most interesting bit is this. They tell you, we'll send you your results on WhatsApp. And they let you go.
Oh.
So you're like, what's the point?
That's business, Bana.
Bro.
That's definitely business.
That's definitely business.
I would do the same, too.
But they are thorough. In terms, you know, that country has been hit by Ebola, they're not playing with. Like, you can't even be in a taxi. You can't even be in a taxi more than three people.
But I hear that.
But what's even crazier is a lockdown. 7 o'clock.
Still.
And you know it's the military enforcing, eh?
Still.
So, it gets to 6 o'clock, border. You know how Uganda and borders are crazy, right?
Yeah.
So, everywhere. So, but that's like in the CBD. In the outskirts, all those names I can't pronounce, you know, the parties are still jumping.
Interesting. I used to love partying in UG. No lie, I've had some really good times there, man. Nuts, some really nuts. Crazy. Some crazy
I haven't been.
I'm not quite sure how the club scene is now. But Ugandan club scene used to be so lit, man. And like, these guys would dress up to go out and shit.
Yeah, it's really a Ugandan thing, eh? They leave the office, go dress up, come back, you know?
Yeah. I've really aged, boy. Uganda was wild at some point, boy. I can't even lie to you.
I've had stories. I've had a lot of stories, man. But Z, let me ask you, like, everywhere you've been, where is the one place, like, the turn-up scene, it has to be number one, like, top-notch on your list?
I don't think it's not unfair. I don't think you can possibly say that, because it's like, I've played in so many places that everywhere has different energy, you know? It's like, for example, it's different. Like, for example, in my early career, I used to do a weekly in Greece. And when I used to fly there every Friday night, a place called...
You and Avicii?
No, my own man. Those days I'm on the come up. And some place called Thessaloniki or something like that, some Greek island or something. And I remember in those days, because it was my first kind of gigs of going abroad from the UK, I used to look at it and be like, oh my goodness, like, yo, you know, yo. But then I remember going into those clubs and it was mostly white people. And I'm playing hip hop and I'm playing Jigga, My Nigga and all those things. And these black white people are there singing the word nigga. And I'm like...
This feels
a bit wrong. I could tell you about there's a time I DJ'd in, I got kidnapped in, where was it? Bulgaria. I was forced to do like an additional gig by some fucking East European bad men.
And you know those guys are serious.
Oh man, Dublin
movie.
I can tell you the best fight ever in the club was.
How did they pronounce your name?
G-Money. But Dublin, I can honestly say Dublin in Ireland is the best fight I've ever seen in a club. That shit was like Lord of the Rings, man. It lasted for like like a good 10 minutes. Like it went from one end of the bar all the way. Dublin used to be lit.
Ireland.
Dublin used to be litty, no lie. I think the worst DJ experience I've had has been in Lagos, because I just wasn't ready. Well, I think
it's all your decks.
No, I think if I go to Lagos now, I'd kill it. But then, because now I understand more, because I understand that in Lagos, their man that doesn't want to hear their own shit. They ain't trying to hear nobody else's shit. So they give you 5 minutes to play other shit. But me, I thought I could go in there with my other shit. They were, hey, play some good music, my friend.
What's going on?
I've had some great times in UG.
That's interesting.
UG is good. I've had some amazing times. Oh my God, I sound so fucking...
Most accepting South Africa. Place.
Say again?
The most accepting place. Like, musically? They went with whatever you gave them. Musically, yes.
I would say...
You just did you. In your zone. You did you and they rolled with it.
I would say that... the door's open, eh? I would say that... Kenya is one of the most... accepting places as far as playing music is concerned. Kenya reminds me a lot of London. London is a very absorbent culture, so there's bits of, you can find bits of the scene everywhere. And you could literally go to London and find a place that you've never played before, and people are accepting of the music that you play. And I'm trying to say, I find that Kenya is also a very open place musically, which I think, to get back to our original conversation, is one of the reasons why we mustn't shut our minds to the sounds of outside, because, you know, Kenya is definitely one of the greatest places to play music, without a doubt, man. You know what I mean? SA is very different. The SA clubbing scene is very, very bougie, very look at me, I'm dressed well, I'm spending money kind of vibe. Not really enjoyable. I've done like 3 gigs down there, didn't enjoy none of them. Ghana is nice. Ghana is really, really nice. Also very open there as well to different types of music. Tanzania, I struggled in Tanzania for the first gig. The second gig, I killed it. Where else? States, New York. My first New York gig was difficult because it was like a hip-hop. Fuck. Anyway, let me stop, man.
You're reminiscing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, let me stop. New York was difficult because it was a straight-up hip-hop event, and it's really hard to go into New York and play, like, East Coast hip-hop, because it it's like, you know, stuff that, like, I can only go in there and play the New York hip-hop that was big on the scene where I was at the time, you know, so, Do you know what I mean?
Or like a golden era.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Mm. Trinidad was amazing. Trinidad is always amazing. Yes, I've been fortunate, man.
Blessings, man. Blessings.
Blessings and blessings and blessings, man. For real.
Mm, yeah, bro.
All right, guys. Listen, it's been the Monday Minnesota. My name's G Money.
Andy Young.
And Big C.
There you go, man.